Good morning, everyone. Welcome. So today we have Aisling, Ellie and Atmis on the show again, here to ruminate a bit about the philosophy of art or what makes art actually important. And before we start, let's hear the usual intro by Casper.
Okay, thanks to all our esteemed guests. Thanks for returning to the show. We are the Angels Wing, an international NFT art gallery and podcast show founded by friends around the world who met through our Metal Angels project. Espresso, Johannes are from Europe, Yun is from the US, whereas Rebel and myself are from Asia. We're driven by our common passion to showcase independent artists and their art and helping them stand out from the crowded NFT market that's dominated by generative 10K PFP projects. We showcase the art in an on-cyber virtual gallery as a larger collection of art naturally brings a cross-pollination of viewership, and that has helped quite a few of our artists reach collectors through sales. We've organically grown since into a community of artists and collectors, but most importantly, friends, like all of you guys here. And with regular Twitter spaces like these, which are then recorded into podcast formats in Spotify and YouTube, the easiest way to get in touch with us, if you're a new listener, would be to join our cozy Discord. Everything's on our link in our bio, so hit us up if you're an indie artist who needs help featuring your art, or if you just want to join a friendly art or NFT community. Last but not least, we'd like to mention that nothing on this show should be construed as investment advice. This podcast is for informational purposes only. And with that, that ends our intro. But before we start with our guests, I think it's quite appropriate that since we are ruminating about art, to have our lovely host, Yun, talk a little bit about her own in real life art exhibition. I'm sure all of us are pretty curious to find out how it all went, how her experience was like exhibiting in real life like a pro. So Yun, care to share a bit more?
Yeah. So thank you, Casper, for the introduction. So 2 years ago, I started this collection.
By the way, you don't have to be humble, okay? just share it as it is.
Yeah, 2 years ago, I started this collection called Mid-Century Nifties. And it's basically a digital collection that I started to draw on the iPad. And it's inspired by modern mid-century interior design. So the shapes and the colors of this particular style really resonates with me. And so this is how basically the collection came to life in 2021. And this is how also kind of how I started actually my journey in the NFT space. I have been very grateful for the people who have collected from the collection and supported it. And actually at the same time, when I started it 2 years ago, I also started to make physical pieces of that collection, because for me, I enjoy making art that I also like seeing actually in my home. And so when I created this collection, I somehow had first in mind, how would it look like actually on the wall? And I wanted to create something which looks nice in my home. And yeah, so fast forward, like last year, a friend of mine actually introduced me to a gallery where I had the option basically to exhibit my art for a month.
Do they just take in anyone? I mean, do you have to apply? Or how does the process go? I'm pretty sure if I walked up to them, they wouldn't accept my art.
Yeah, I had to apply. And I heard back from the gallery owner half year later, like in January this year. I was not so sure initially what to exhibit, but then I thought, yeah, okay, let's try to create something that looks coherent in style. And I thought, yeah, we'll just make more physical pieces of the mid-century NFTs. So I think in February, I made like 12 more pieces. I work in oil and I was a little bit concerned initially whether the pieces will dry on time. But yeah, it all worked out. And this week we had a reception event where I could kind of bring all my pieces, and some are hanging in the gallery. And it was part of a cultural event of my city even. So just anyone who is basically interested in art can just stop by and kind of chat with the artist. It was my first physical exhibit. So it was, yeah, kind of special. I invited friends who came over and supported the event. It was also very interesting to see that people who actually stop by your art sometimes, they use your art to start a conversation. And what happened is oftentimes many people started telling me about their life story. And I'm not sure really, because I am a kind of good listener. And there was even a lady who just came to see me, not because of my art, because she saw online that I'm an immunologist by training and she wanted to talk about some medical stuff with me. So that was kind of fun.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. Yeah, that's really cool. Really happy for you. And this was in Portland, Oregon?
Yes.
Okay, what's the name of the gallery so that we can all spread the word? I mean, it's kind of far for me, but I'll try to make it.
Thank you. Yeah, actually, I pinned it to my Twitter profile. It's Catherine Beattie Gallery.
Okay, maybe I'll find it and I'll pin it for you.
All right, so let's move on to what we initially planned, talking about the purpose of art. Ashley, Ali, Artemis, welcome back. I also want to welcome Jack, Hall, and Gnome who joined today. So if you guys want to jump into the discussion, just feel free to request to speak. That would be really fun, I think, just to hear more perspectives. Yeah, so 2 weeks ago, we had a great episode about daily practices with Ali, Sylvie, and Artemis. And during our conversation, Sylvie was bringing up these kind of philosophical questions like, what is the purpose of art and what do people try to find in art? And I have been thinking about these questions a lot myself. So I thought it would be great to have a discussion about that on Spaces and hear what everyone thinks. So here we are. Ashley, Ellie, and Artemis, just for people listening to our space for the first time, would you introduce yourself briefly first? Who wants to go first?
I can go first. Just a quick introduction. This is Artemis, and I guess the most basic introduction is I'm a scientific illustrator. So for the art philosophy, I have like a, I don't know, I feel like my philosophy is mainly like teaching with art, which isn't what it has to be. But yeah, scientific illustrator. I love explaining medicine and nature through art.
All right. Did you want to go next, Ali?
Sure. My name is Ali. I do a lot of different things, but yes, I was on the show a couple weeks ago to talk about my daily practice. I do art every day. I also do collaborative works and zines and a bunch of other fun stuff. And yeah, I'm excited to talk more about philosophy and, you know, what is art and what art means to myself and other folks. So excited to chat more.
Yeah, thank you for the brief intro, Ali. Ashling, so happy to have you back here on our space. Introduce yourself briefly.
Sure. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk about art today. So
yeah,
in the past, I've been doing a lot of interactive storytelling and comics and art to go along with it. A lot of squirrely themed adventures. And now I'm working on tying back in some stories through vampires with the bite. We actually have now a vampire squirrel in the mix, but that's the kind of arting I've been up to lately.
Wait, okay, tell us briefly what the bite is about.
Oh, yeah. So that started originally, it was just a simple page with one button, and it was you bite somebody by sending them a link, and then they've turned into a vampire, and then once a day, they can bite somebody, and it's kind of like this chain of events. And slowly, we've been building out features that allow you to continue building a story around this character you have that's been bitten. And we recently just got to the point where we can feature characters on the front page, and I've been making custom art for them, and they have special character profile that kind of have D&D inspired character sheets on that front page. So it's kind of digging deeper into character building through like simple events and kind of de-stressing the idea of having to build all of this up.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see what happens in the bite world. I think most of us actually are there, right? I have been thinking a lot about what art actually is. And I think like to me also after hearing what you guys just briefly mentioned, I think art is actually a sort of a language that communicate not just emotions, but also information. And around this concept, I think art can serve as entertainment, but also provides us a sense of beauty sometimes. But this is kind of another discussion. What is beauty in art? And for me, as a scientist, and in a way I can relate to Artemis, is what she said about teaching with art. I think like art is very similar to science in the sense that it helps us to understand who we are and also the things that are around us. Yeah. So that was kind of like my idea what art is. But I'm so curious to hear about what you guys think the general purpose of art is and what makes art so important in life.
I find this discussion so fascinating because I've had this conversation a lot, but it's actually really hard to define art in any way? Because I think for me, it goes back down to like an exploration, because sometimes it's an exploration of feelings, or sometimes it's studies, sometimes it's an exploration of an idea. And it can vary too, whether or not you want someone to understand right away. I think like a huge idea with illustration is you want people to understand what you've illustrated immediately, but sometimes you dig deeper into fine arts and sometimes people have to kind of watch and decipher and figure it out. It's really fascinating too, because things like the urinal that was on display by like Duchamp or something, or the snow shovel, and a lot of people would be like, what is this? Why is this here? But I think it's actually there to put the question of like, what then defines art? So I still don't know what they mean for me though.
Yeah, I agree. We can just define our own perspective of what art is. And this is the only thing that we can do, I think. And we can never say what art generally is, because we can't possibly extrapolate to everyone. So
yeah, I think it's like a form of communication. So for me, my preferred form of expression is words. But I understand for artists like yourself, it could be using one picture to share a few emotions or a few messages, or even raise questions in a very indirect way. So I think all of us have a different way of wanting to express or question the world, or to share how we see things. And art is one of the fascinating forms. And I guess if an artist is communicating something and the audience appreciates and can get along the same wavelength, it will be quite amazing. So yeah, that's my reflection.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rebel. I think you're also referring to the idea that art is basically a sort of a language to communicate a certain idea.
Yeah, no, I agree completely, like with the language and then communication. The word that I was going to use to like overarchingly describe art was storytelling. And that I think it's not always clear storytelling, like abstract is more like art is more like poetry, some poetry that just isn't a direct story like a novel. Whereas then how like I learned art as storytelling to convey an idea. And so that it's a really direct story. It's not abstract at all with illustration. And so I think everything could be broken down into being a story, no matter how abstract or defined it is. That was my thought.
Thank you. Why does art matter for you? I think for most people, it's the form of self-expression. And like initially, before I started making art myself, I basically just enjoyed looking at art. But when I started to make art myself on a regular basis, I noticed that it was a form of self-discovery. Just by analyzing the way I create, I learned so much about myself. And I think this is the reason why making art, or why making art matters for me. So yeah, so I would be interested in what you guys think about that.
So I do feel like as a human, we all need to express. We're kind of made to be able to express our emotions. You know, if you're sad, we cry. If you're happy, we sing. So we can't just bottle everything up, right? I mean, art is like an outlet. And when I say art, it's all forms of art, including poetry and everything. So sometimes certain things that we see, or if you observe a certain beauty, it's really hard to just express it. But sometimes, like perhaps something symbolic of that beauty would be adequate, or it could capture the essence of what we want to express. And even now, I'm trying hard to express what that means. So yeah.
I think you really touched the point. Art is a very special outlet, and sometimes we maybe cannot express ourselves in a certain way, but through art we can.
Yeah, I really connect with what Rebel just said about the way that you express yourself. And like on the surface, I love to create things, but as I dig deeper, I realize I'm like a visual thinker. I'm also very introverted. I don't talk that much. And I think the way that I naturally connect with people and communicate with them a lot is actually through art. And I've had some of my most favorite moments connecting with a person by giving them art, or making art with them, or expressing something that I feel about them through art. And even in my little brain, there's like 1,000 different little cinematics going on. Like someone will be telling me something and I'll be like visualizing it as a movie scene. And then, so that was my favorite part about sharing stories with people, is like, okay, let me put this down for you.
Yeah, this is actually a good point. I think sharing stories has been around since humans has been around and has always been something that connected people in a certain way. And different people have different ways to, I guess, tell stories. And for artists like Aisling, it's basically through a visual form instead of maybe a written language, right?
Yeah, I mean, art, first of all, it's really something of aesthetic beauty to me. But after coming to the NFT space, I can really see that it's entirely true that it connects people. I mean, a very good and close example would be just look at all the PFP projects, right? All the NFTs, by technical definition, are just a token. But the fact that it has to be linked through IPFS or whatever to a JPEG of a picture that connects the entire community, I think it speaks volumes. I'm not sure what you guys think about, I mean, if the art of the Bored Apes were changed to something else, I'm not sure whether it would attract the same crowd. So I think there's definitely that connection element of it. And it's very clear that it works in PFP projects, for example. So yeah, that's just kind of like my contribution to the conversation here.
Thank you, Kasper. Johannes, you also wanted to share something.
Yeah. So first of all, for me, it's super hard to define what art is actually, because for my full life, I am trying to figure out if I want to be some artist or if I would like to stay being a coder and writing code, being just an IT guy. And sometimes if I'm, for example, doing something in Photoshop, some people would say this could be also art. But then I think, no, that is just design. So I'm usually struggling with the term. But what I think makes art for me very interesting, or when art has a huge value for me, is when I can look on some piece and suddenly ask myself deep questions. For example, my father has this Genesis collection, which was one of the most successful collections. And usually the people just stand it in front of the pictures or images. And then the first questions to themselves, why this piece has such a title? Why is, for example, something like Eternal Love? And then they look on it, ask more and more questions. And then the art piece gives them some kind of mirror. So they develop more questions and they interpret more and more into the piece. And then the art piece for everybody has a different meaning because it's some kind of mirror for the person standing in front of it. So this is something where art is really touching me. If I am forced to think about the piece and if I am going to start having meaningful questions and doing some discussions with myself in front of the piece. So yeah, this is when art starts and when design ends, because when I'm going to do design, then the message must be clear. This is a red button. You have to click it because you have to buy something in this shop. But if I'm free to do something where the answer is not that obvious, then this is going to be art for me. That's my addition to the discussion.
Yeah, thank you, Johannes. I love that. So you actually raised two interesting points. One is that art stimulates thinking, and a second one is that art can serve as a mirror to people. And I think this is very true. And also you mentioned that art sometimes is basic design. Are you referring to functional and non-functional art, like art that doesn't necessarily serve a purpose and art that's like used, for instance, to convey a message in marketing or somewhere?
So for me, it's a clear line between design, graphic design, where you are using maybe even the same tools to guide somebody to do something, or for example, on a website, it must look nice. This is for me graphic design. I worked several years as a web designer, graphic designer, and I would never have considered this art because there's no task for me to make people think and give them questions. So they have a different goal. I want to sell them something, for example. So for me, there's a clear line between a graphic design where I want somebody to do some kind of action in the end. And for example, when it looks beautiful, it's easier, for example. And then there's art where I don't have rules like this, where I can, for example, make it difficult to understand the thing. So for me, there's a line that you can cross, and then graphic design becomes art.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Well, thank you, Johannes. So I would also be interested to hear what you guys appreciate about other people's art. I mean, we kind of already touched a bit upon that, but let me start. So I think what I enjoy in other people's art is, first of all, inspiration for myself, not necessarily for making art, but just inspire me generally in life. And also, I appreciate art that kind of uplifts me. So for instance, if I look at the stories by Aisling, they just always make me smile. They bring like pleasure or joy to my life. So these two of the most important parts for me in art.
So it's Ali here. I'm just going to jump in. I really love also art that, you know, like for enjoyment or entertainment. and also inspiration. I love kind of like looking at very beautiful things and stuff like that. However, I also really like art. And this is maybe because I like gross things, but like that just really like challenge me or things that I find like very disgusting. Like I'm thinking of some of Beeple's more disgusting pieces in the past few months. And for some reason, I am just so fascinated with that, just kind of making something gross or ugly, like on purpose. I'm very interested in that. Also kind of like shocks me in a way. I don't know. I'm always really drawn to that in addition to like the very beautiful storytelling artwork. And I find like pieces like that, they really kind of like confront you and they almost like trigger you in a way to kind of cause a reaction. And then the reaction to those pieces is almost like the point, or I don't know. I always learn something about myself when I look at those very sort of out there pieces, or even a piece by an artist, and maybe it's much more explicit than a piece that I would normally make or experience. I'm like, oh, but then I'm like, well, okay, why did I have that reaction to that piece? And like, what is that really saying? And is that part of the art of it? So I really like those sort of gross pieces. And I also really like abject art in general, like outside of the NFT space. Yeah, I love all the gross stuff.
That's fascinating, Ali. Is this just kind of the emotional experience that you're seeking? What draws you to art that shocks you?
I think so. And just like the revulsion in some aspects, or the way that the piece challenges expectations or the expectations of either that artist or the piece, like in terms of abject art, it's just art that's really supposed to look really gross and kind of off-putting. So often it has like fleshy skin tones and they kind of look like things from like a horror movie, but in a very artful way. And I think it plays off a lot of like insecurities and things that we don't talk about a lot. And I also like to kind of get really deep in some of the things I do. So I really like when I see these shocking pieces. Yeah, I don't know. I think that maybe that's just a guilty pleasure of mine, but I really appreciate what they do.
All right. Artemis, you're next.
Yeah, I like the call out of Beeple and just his creative way of seeing like the news of the day in a single piece. But I don't even know if it has to be shocking for me to enjoy it. I just enjoy art that's a creative interpretation that I wouldn't have necessarily done. I feel like with the internet, we're full of just repetition. And so seeing something in a different light is what I find really cool. With Ali, with your daily pieces, you had a keyboard piece recently, and it was definitely a keyboard. Like it was keyboard keys, but they weren't like arranged in normal ways. Like the keys were differently arranged and there was colors and stuff. So I thought it was great that your prompt was keyboard and you didn't just draw a keyboard, which is how like my direct mind would work. But you had the keyboard keys and I was like trying to see like shapes and patterns in them. And so I think like novel creative interpretations of the world is what I enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wonderful. Oh, we have Aisling next.
You and I agree so much with what you started with about feeling motivated and inspired by seeing your friends making art and connecting back to like the 365 days of art that Ali did and the full Inktober that Artemis did. And I have never successfully completed either of those achievements. And it's really motivating. Like, I'm so excited to see you accomplish those things. And it proves to me like, oh my God, this can be done. And hearing the way that you've talked about it in the previous spaces where I think, Ali, you mentioned you were like, at some point, like I was just doing it. Like I wasn't even thinking about like the long-term goal, just like creating this piece for this day and then it's okay. And I also just love the voices that you see in each piece. Like sometimes you just see a piece of art and you're like, I know who made this. I know the artist that made this because their voice is there. I can tell by their brush strokes or the type of brush or even just the colors that they used. And I really love that.
Thank you for sharing that, Ashley. Rubble, next.
Yeah, I think it's actually quite interesting to see how each of the artist's background is shown in the art. So I know I'm actually quite fascinated by Artemis' organs. And I remember there was a session where, Artemis, you shared that it was partly because of your background in this space. I mean, it's quite interesting. And I think that's also one of the themes that we usually try to explore when we have our spaces and we interview the artists. Just understanding what motivates them, you know, where they kind of grew that flair for art from. It's interesting. I mean, there's so much variety. So yeah, I think it's a very rich space and a lot to be discovered. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I want to lead this discussion like further to what type of emotions in art resonate with you guys. Ali mentioned that she kind of looks for things that shocks her. I think there's probably an analogy why people watch horror movies. I appreciate all sorts of art and I just find it fascinating to look at them. But I probably like the type of what you could call happy art, which is probably the ones that most resonate with me. Yeah, curious to hear what you guys think.
I feel like I'm the resident sad girl. I resonate with a lot of darker themes. I do like the happy art as well. But I really like when someone gets really raw emotionally with their art and goes kind of deep, because I know how hard it is to be vulnerable in your art pieces sometimes. So I really resonate with pieces that are kind of emotionally heavy, or they're really expressing maybe an emotion or a state or a question that maybe they don't get the opportunity to express in their day-to-day life. I don't own any of the Wrecked Guy pieces, but I really like them for some reason because they're very funny, but also, you know, wrecked like emotionally. So I like those types of pieces, or sort of the melancholy pieces, because I know how rare those are to kind of experience those, not to experience those emotions, but to show those emotions to others in our sort of like day-to-day sort of very positive social media society. Well, maybe not on Twitter. Twitter is a mixed bag, but like Instagram, that type of thing. So yeah, I definitely resonate with this sort of more sad, angsty type of artwork, but I also like the happy stuff too. It really depends on my mood, but yeah.
It's a really interesting. Ashley, go ahead.
I think my approach to this, it's very similar actually to my approach when watching like movies or something, and you add it to your watch list and you just know that it's going to hurt when you watch it. So you're like, I need to mentally prepare myself for this. So I'll save it for a day when I'm ready to get like the tissue box out and stuff like that. And I know for me personally, emotion, I tap into that much when making art. For me personally, in my creative space, I think it's a little bit escapist too, but I just like tapping into those good feelings. But I'm always in awe of artists who are able to kind of be raw and vulnerable with their art and beautifully express like these inner emotions. And also there's like one painting that always freaking gets me. I think it's called Anguish. There's like a mother lamb crying over like her little baby, and there's fucking crows everywhere. And I think there's a few different versions of it. That's like a perfect example of one of those things where it's like, I can't look at this unless I'm like ready to look at this right now. But I do love them. Like the way that it makes you so completely connect to that emotion is pretty crazy.
Oh, so the piece that you're talking about, you said a mother sheep like crying over dead baby sheep, right?
Yes, she's like protecting her baby.
Yeah, interesting. It's a very emotional piece. I also find it interesting, like in the 19th century, painters often use animals to tell stories or convey a certain emotion that is maybe not common today.
It's amazing to get like an expression, like a feeling out of a sheep. Like, how do we know that this sheep is feeling this feeling, but it's so clear?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Yeah. So this is actually in itself a form of art, I think. Painters who actually can really bring even this type of emotions to animals. It's very fascinating. Yeah, so we have a couple minutes left, and I would like to hear, I mean, we already talked a bit about that. How do you want people or your audience to feel about your art? All right, so maybe I start so everyone can still think about it for a moment. I think what I want people to feel about my art is probably similar to the way I enjoy to see an art, is mainly this type of good feeling, happiness, and a sense of playfulness. I sometimes enjoy, particularly in my illustrations, I enjoy the feeling of nostalgia, remembering something in the past that made you happy. And I think most of us has usually good memories of the childhood. And this is some sort of a type of nostalgic feelings that often I associate also with art.
Yeah, I agree a lot. I really enjoy expressing fun, happy emotions, a little bit of adventure. I want to take all my friends on an adventure with me. I've had a very long-rooted obsession with wanting to be able to put people into a fantasy universe and do whatever we want together. I've been like doing that since middle school, and I think it has just carried over through the years, and that's like one of my main purposes. So I hope that I can experience adventure with everyone through my art, and sometimes a little bit of chuckles.
You have been so successful in that sense, I would say. You're really good at storytelling. And if I look at your stories, I mean, I really feel pulled into that world. It's a real nice feeling.
Yeah, I guess what I try to do. So I thought about this a lot when I entered the NFT space. Like what I normally did before was try to teach like super directly, like teach these exact anatomical pieces or doing something for a museum where it like points out these pieces of an animal. But I wanted to kind of take a step back with the NFT thing and more just do scientific art that just got people thinking in general about science is like a beautiful thing. And so I've done a lot of work with, I have a digital microscope. And so like taking those photos and manipulating those, I think the world is so cool if you look at it through a microscope and people don't always see it that way. So just getting people to see the world a different way, that excites them.
That's beautiful. I think it goes together what Johannes said, that art is there to stimulate thinking and you try to stimulate thinking about science in your audience. And I love that you said that to help people think in a different way by looking at your art. And I think you have been very successful with that. Ellie, do you also want to share something?
Sure. So I think with my art, I try to kind of express myself in a way. And I also like to kind of show like an authenticity side of my art. And I've kind of given up on like what I want people to experience from my art, because oftentimes like what I want people to experience, they don't experience it in the same way that I think there's a communication breakdown somewhere. But I really like creating things and distilling pieces of myself into a piece of artwork. And I really like when people see something, they're like, hey, that's definitely you. Yeah. So I really like that aspect of my artwork and artwork interpretation.
Thank you, Ellie. So yeah, we're coming to the end of our space. Anything to add?
I just feel like we're just really fortunate to have this group of friends here, because art just ranges all the way from the extremely creative Ashlyn, Ellie, and we have even our guest listeners like Hal having her art through a telescope. And then we have art from ArtMiss through a microscope. Just pretty amazing if you think about it. Yeah, our art within the community is just spanning the universe. That's not too cheesy. Yeah, I'm really grateful for that.
Yeah, thank you, Caspian. So I think initially I thought art would mainly be a form of self-expression. But along the way, also particularly having spent like 2 years in Web3 almost now, I just feel that art is mainly actually to help us connect with each other, or this kind of a medium to connect. I guess that's how we all kind of ended up here and discussing about art on space. And it's really wonderful. It was a very interesting discussion. And I think also for myself, I learned a lot. And I hope we can somehow continue this discussion and invite more people to join us, because I think it's very helpful to hear what people actually want to achieve with their art. Thank you, Ashlyn, Ellie and ArtMiss for joining us. And thank you to our co-host and audience for listening. Bye. In time.